This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on such a magnificent Monday. And on tap for this hour, we're going to do a little Medal of Honor Monday here in just a moment. I am going to do a little bit, very, very brief little bit of history around that. Just a couple minutes long. Maybe, hopefully. And then we'll talk about some communist violence. I'll put a bow on that one. Trump said some really good things today. I don't play a ton of White House audio just because that's not the kind of radio show we do, but I'm going to play some of that. We'll talk about an ancient altar and why the left is now defending child sacrifice. All that and so much more is still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show tonight. Now, the Okinawa campaign of the Pacific War. Because this is going to be our Medal of Honor citation. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Remember, it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every Monday, second hour, start of the second hour, this is what we do. We read a Medal of Honor citation. Well, the war in the Pacific, Okinawa was the last of the ground campaigns, the last of it. The only stuff that really happened after Okinawa was a bunch of bombing, including the atom bombs, right? But the last and worst of the campaigns was Okinawa. And that makes sense why it would be the worst if you track our progress across the Pacific as we're trying to get closer and closer to the Japanese homeland. It would make sense that the final one is the closest one. The Japanese were painfully aware that if we took Okinawa, we're practically on their doorstep. And they were determined to hold it at any cost. Now, Okinawa is a whole long, I could do a whole show on it. In fact, I probably have. But for the purpose of our conversation, for the purpose of our Medal of Honor citation, I wanted to explain that they were not only dug in caves and emplacements all over Okinawa, that there was one location Marines will all know with three hills that were used to protect each other. The hills, don't worry about remembering these names, were Sugarloaf, Half Moon, and Horseshoe. They're famous. That's obviously, that wasn't the official name. Those were the names the Marines gave to them. Sugarloaf, Half Moon, and Horseshoe. Okay? And the Japanese held these hilltops. And they were slaughtering everybody who went by. And so you had to charge your way up the hilltop. And then they would slaughter you on the way up. If you happen to make it up and take over the emplacements, then they would simply counterattack and slaughter you again. And this was a massacre. More Marines died on these little hills than you can possibly count. And this is one of those things, we've talked about this before, where you'd send up whole units and the whole unit would be gone, essentially. You'd send up 200 men, you'd get 10 back. That's the kind of death we're talking about here. Now, James Lewis Day, United States Marines. I'm going to read his citation and then I'll probably fill in some blanks if I don't do it along the way. Just to set it up for you, his squad was pretty much wiped out. At first, he was down to seven or eight men. And then he was down to three men, including himself. And then a mortar round hits. And finally, it's just him and one other guy. Two guys who get left on the hill. They can't retreat. There's nowhere else to go. They're left on the hill. And the Japanese want them off the hill. Without further ado.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty as a squad leader in sustained combat operations against Japanese forces. On the first day, Corporal Day rallied his squad and the remnants of another unit and led them to a critical position forward of the front lines of Sugarloaf Hill. Soon thereafter, they came under an intense mortar and artillery barrage that was quickly followed by a ferocious ground attack by some 40 Japanese soldiers. Despite the loss of one half of his men, Corporal Day remained at the forefront, shouting encouragement, hurling hand grenades, and directing deadly fire, thereby repelling the determined enemy. Reinforced by six men, he led his squad in repelling three fierce night attacks, but suffered five additional Marines killed and one wounded, whom he assisted to safety. Pause for a second. He ran them all to safety. Anyway, upon hearing nearby calls for corpsman assistance, Corporal Day braved heavy enemy fire to escort four seriously wounded Marines, one at a time, to safety. He's carrying these men off the hill and going back, okay? Corporal Day then manned a light machine gun, assisted by a wounded Marine, and halted another night attack. In this ferocious action, his machine gun was destroyed and he suffered multiple white phosphorus and fragmentation wounds. That was when a mortar round exploded and blew up his gun and killed the other Marine. He reorganized his defensive position in time to halt a fifth enemy attack with devastating small arms fire. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. This is now Corporal Day and one other Marine, Bertoli, I believe the guy's name was, who ended up losing his life later on. Two Marines, all alone. The Japanese know there are only two Marines, and they are coming at these guys repeatedly at night, trying to get them off of this hill, all right? On three separate occasions, Japanese soldiers closed to within a few feet of his foxhole, but were killed by Corporal Day. During the second day, the enemy conducted numerous unsuccessful swarming attacks against his exposed position. On the third day, a wounded and exhausted Corporal Day repulsed the enemy's final attack, killing a dozen enemy soldiers at close range. Pause again really quickly. One of the ways he was doing this, him and his Marine, it was pitch black. And they could hear, they had to wait until they heard the Japanese coming up the hill. You didn't want to shoot because then the Japanese would know exactly where you were because your weapon gives off a flash. Him and his buddy were pulling the pins on grenades and rolling them down the hills, blowing up Japanese people for 3 days dug into this hill. On the third day, a wounded and exhausted Corporal Day repulsed the enemy's final attack, killing a dozen enemy soldiers at close range. Having yielded no ground, and with more than 100 enemy dead around his position, Corporal Day preserved the lives of his fellow Marines and made a significant contribution to the success of the Okinawa campaign. By his extraordinary heroism, repeated acts of valor, and quintessential battlefield leadership, Corporal Day inspired the efforts of his outnumbered Marines to defeat a much larger enemy force, reflecting great credit upon himself and upholding the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. All alone, 3 days on Sugarloaf Hill, fighting off waves of suicidal Japanese attackers, and he lived to tell the tale. That is a beast. And he actually survived it. He didn't get the Medal of Honor until, shockingly, he didn't get it till decades later. I think it was Bush or maybe even Clinton, if I remember right. One of those two, first Bush, H.W. Bush. It was Bush or Clinton who actually did it. Chris said, how do you sleep those 3 days? You don't. You wake up and you fight the entire time. You live on only adrenaline. You don't sleep. You don't do anything. You expect to die. When it's just you and a buddy and you've watched all your other buddies be killed or wounded, you're everyone you're banking on it being your last one. And your goal is simply to kill as many and take as many with you as you possibly can. And if you're really good at killing people like Day was, maybe you can kill so many that you can survive. And he did survive. We don't have to play taps. We've gotten a couple emails in the past of people who don't want us to play taps anymore for one reason or another. I wish you wouldn't play taps. Let me be crystal clear. That will never, ever, 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 ever stop for any reason on this show. If you're sick of it, turn off the radio and go listen to something else. We play taps to honor the fallen. We will always play taps to honor the fallen. If you don't like it, you can roll it up in a tight little wad and shove it where the sun don't shine. Is that perfectly clear? I don't care about anything you have to say about it. On this show, that's what we do. Not just the Medal of Honor guys, the people die in training. I don't give a crap whether you like it or not. All right? All right. We'll touch on a little bit more communist violence. We're going to talk about, what did some executive at Ford do? And what's his title? And we're going to play some Trump comments next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, what version of that song was that you just played? Was that some kind of live version or something like that? Whatever it was, it sucked. Okay, and it sucked. I can sniff out a live version a mile away. Everyone knows live music's great in person. It's devastating if you have to listen to it. No, it is great in person, Chris. Quit being such a party pooper. You're just trying to save money. No, there's nothing worse than when you download a song and it turns out it's the live version and the singer has to make adjustments to how he sings the song and you have the crowd, oh my gosh, he's my favorite. It sucks. There's nothing more worse, especially when you paid a buck for it. What, Chris? What? Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison is obviously an exception. Anything Johnny Cash does is an exception, Chris. We already know that. That's built in. Gosh. Back to communist violence. I'm going to ask you something because we're getting a bunch of emails from people who don't really understand how they can justify it. How can you justify it? How can you justify it? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Chris, Corey, I'm going to ask you both. I have not prepped them ahead of time. I'm going to ask everybody a question. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. And don't worry, it's not complicated. It's not only yes or no, but I don't want you to think about it. First thing that pops into your head, okay? The first thing that pops into your head, yes or no. You know who Captain America is, right? Everyone knows who the fictional character Captain America. Would you consider Captain America to be a violent man? Most people say no. Immediately. Most people would say, well, no. Why not? He beats people up all the time. I realize it's fictional, but I was reading his comic books when I was a child. Shoots people, beats people up, blows things up. They even make movies about it and stuff like that now. Why don't you consider him to be violent? Because he's on the good team. And he's fighting against bad guys. And so, look, the bad guys are violent. Who's the guy with the red head? Red Skull. That's right, Red Skull. I haven't read comic books in a long time. Red Skull. Red Skull's violent. Red Skull's out there killing people. Captain America's not violent. He only has to kill people to stop Red Skull from killing people, you see? How does the communist justify violence in his mind? How could you justify that? Why is it okay to firebomb a Tesla dealership? Why is it, you know what, here's a great example. Remember that Luigi loser? The guy in New York City who assassinated the healthcare CEO? United Healthcare CEO, we all watched it, it happened on camera, was assassinated by this Luigi guy. It's on camera, everyone watched it happen, okay? Luigi's not only getting all these love letters in the mail, but CNN sat down with a Taylor Lorenz. She had a very interesting perspective on Luigi. Remember why you don't think Captain America's violent?
So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh my God, right? Like, here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find. They want somebody to take on the system. They want somebody to tear down these barbaric establishment institutions.
Did you hear what she said? She even called him morally good. He had two small children. I'm 43 years old. I lost my father 6 months ago today. 6 months ago today, I lost my father. I still can't talk about it. It just guts me. Small children don't have a father anymore because Luigi assassinated him on the streets of New York City. How does this communist see
it? So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh my God, right? Like, here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find. They want somebody to take on the system. They want somebody to tear down these barbaric establishment institutions.
How bad can he be when he's fighting the bad guys? He's not violent. He can't be the bad guy in the story. In fact, he's morally good. He's taking on the Nazis. You have to commit acts of violence to take on the Nazis. Now, violence. Why is it that communists love it? Because remember, it's about destroying things. Everything sucks. This is evil. You have to destroy things. Well, let me ask you. Is there a nonviolent way to destroy things? Something so simple as a piece of paper. I'm holding a piece of paper right here. It's just a plain white piece of paper. I want it to go away. Is there a nonviolent way to destroy this piece of paper? I have to tear it. I have to burn it. I have to do something to destroy it. Destruction is violence. If there's a statue and I want it gone, is there a nonviolent way to remove the statue? I have to tear it down. I have to carve it up. I have to blow it up. If I want to destroy capitalism, America, this business, that government, this or that, it's going to obviously involve violence. That's why they commit so many acts of violence. They have my entire life, and that's why it's picking up now. And that's why the media and Democrats themselves will try to run cover for it by, I don't know, calling Antifa an idea.
Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia. That's what
it's an idea.
FBI.
Yeah. By the way, you know America's corporations have funded a lot of these evil, violent groups. You realize that? Meaning, if you patronize that business, you funded it. And I have to point fingers at me. I've had Verizon. I've had AT&T. T-Mobile was the last mobile provider I had. So I funded plenty of it myself. I don't have them anymore. I have Pure Talk now. Pure Talk, one, will save you a fortune, Chris. Two, Pure Talk is the patriotic company. When they give, they don't flood Planned Parenthood with cash or Black Lives Matter with cash. They make sure to help out veterans. Get veterans medical care. Get them back on their feet. Help them with debt. If you could cut your cell phone bill in half and patronize a company like that, why wouldn't you? It takes 10 minutes to switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests, Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Brett Baer.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Compass Duffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Oh, man, easy for me to say. A wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show after I clear my throat, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, you can also download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I can't wait to get to the emails. Chris, somebody had a dream about me. What? I'm sure many people do. This one in particular was awesome and realistic. We'll talk about it in just a few minutes. I do. Trump said a few things today and really sharp things. You know, I don't generally play a ton of White House audio, a ton of Caroline Leavitt Trump audio. It just kind of seems lazy. Does that sound right? Lazy? Is there anything easier than doing a talk radio show where you just play Trump sound bites all day long? It just kind of seems lazy. But he had some good ones today.
Have you spoken to President Zelensky, sir, about his offer to purchase more Patriot missile batteries?
Oh, I don't know. He's always looking to purchase missiles. You know, he's against. Listen, when you start a war, you got to know that you can win the war, right? You don't start a war against somebody that's 20 times your size and then hope that people give you some missiles.
Let's talk about this really quickly because this is bigger than Russia, Ukraine. I know you're hot on World War I because my email inbox filled up last week after I did that, but World War I, why did it get so big? Because of this concept of allies. And it's not that you don't want allies in life as a person, or it's not that you don't want allies as a country, right? Allies can be beneficial, but it's a very dangerous game to play. And when you point out that, hey, you want an ally. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about it with Russia, Ukraine. Ukraine wants an ally. They want allies. They've had allies. In fact, they've had us, the largest, most powerful country on earth, as an ally, even though they're not part of NATO, but that's another story entirely. They've had us as an ally. Did it help Ukraine? Have you seen Ukraine? With the exception of Kyiv, go look up the state of Ukrainian cities. Now, Ukraine, in my personal opinion, is a beautiful country with really an unbelievable history. It's a very, very corrupt country. I understand that. But it's a beautiful country with a wonderful history. Their cities are all rubble now. Why are they rubble? Why are they conscripting teenage boys? Why are there guys my age, they look like balding with gray in their beard, in uniform now? Because all the other young men are dead. 1.5 million people dead. Why? Well, Russia invaded. Yes, that's true. I'm not denying that at all. It's not just that Russia invaded. Russia invaded, and instead of the smaller, weaker country capitulating, the world doesn't like that, you see. So the world decided, we can't let that happen again. And the world stepped in, and we propped Ukraine up for 3 years now and watched all their young men die. Is Ukraine better off? And now they don't want to make peace. They just simply don't want to make. Why would you want to make peace? If you're one of the big shots in the Ukrainian government, if you're Zelensky, you've canceled the election. You're in power. You're filthy rich. This we know by now. Wonder how that happened. You're filthy rich. You're super powerful. You're a worldwide celebrity. You're not dying. You're never in any danger of dying at all. It's really bad. Anyway, move on past that. Trump talked about this. This is the right answer. This is the exact right answer. I wish everyone in the GOP would speak like this.
How many illegal criminals are you planning on exporting to El Salvador? And President Bukele, how many are you willing to take from the U.S.?
As many as possible. And I just asked the president, you know, it's this massive complex that he built, jail complex. I said, can you build some more of them, please? As many as we can get out of our country that were allowed in here by incompetent Joe Biden.
That's how you answer that question. As many as possible. Period. End of story. That's the right thing. Oh, speaking of which, Bukele? Whatever. The president of El Salvador, he's doing a really good job. He was asked about, hey, this guy from El Salvador, the MS-13 gang member who the media likes to refer to as a Maryland man. Are you going to bring him back?
Well, Folks are not suggesting that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right? How can I return him to the United States? It's like I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, I mean, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
Reporter, of course, concerned with bringing a murderer back into the United States of America, actually asks El Salvador's president, hey, can you just bring him back? And Bukele answers the question right. He's a terrorist. What do you want me to do? Bring him back into the country? He's not even an American citizen. Stephen Miller dunked on him pretty good today, as he usually does. He seems sharp.
Because, you know, it's asked by CNN, and they always ask it with a slant, because they're totally slanting because they don't know what's happening. That's why nobody's watching them. But would you answer that question also, please?
Yes, gladly. There's an illegal alien from El Salvador. So with respect to you, he's a citizen of El Salvador. So it's very arrogant even for American media to suggest that we would even tell El Salvador how to handle their own citizens as a starting point. As two immigration courts found that he was a member of MS-13. When President Trump declared MS-13 to be a foreign terrorist organization, that meant that he was no longer eligible under federal law, which I'm sure you know, you're very familiar with the INA, that he was no longer eligible for any form of immigration relief in the United States. So he had a deportation order that was valid, which meant that under our law, he's not even allowed to be present in the United States and had to be returned because of the foreign terrorist designation. This issue was then, by a district court judge, completely inverted, and a district court judge tried to tell the administration that they had to kidnap a citizen of El Salvador and fly him back here. That issue was raised to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said the district court order was unlawful, and its main components were reversed 9-0 unanimously.
That's Stephen Miller destroying CNN. But when you're CNN, this is what you've become. And now your hosts have to open up their shows. This is Dana Bash saying things like this.
For the record, since we heard President Trump say in the Oval Office that CNN hates our country, CNN does not hate our country. That should go without saying. I've been here for 32 years, and I see a rhetorical device in him trying to say such a thing.
Well, of course they do. Democrats hate the country. And I'm not just saying that for talk radio. You know that's true. How many Democrats in your life talk lovingly about America? How many? Do you know, honestly asking, do you know a single Democrat who gets choked up with patriotism? Maybe during the national anthem. Maybe during a military flyover. Do you know a single Democrat who flies an American flag from their home? You drive into my neighborhood, honestly, 90%, 95% of the people, everyone flies a flag. This is what you do, especially during the holidays like Independence Day, things like that. The American flags go up. I remember when I lived in a Democrat neighborhood in Virginia, couldn't find one. Of course, Democrats hate the country. They've been taught that it's evil. Now, let's focus on what's important. Somebody had a dream about me. We're going to do that in some emails. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. All that can be emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, it's time. Someone, many people I'm sure, but someone had a dream about me. A lady did, Chris. And she laid it all out. And the subject of this one is, I dreamt about you. Jesse, I'm a happily married woman of 26 years, but last night I dreamt about you. Apparently you were my teacher, and trying to be fun, you sent us off on a history scavenger hunt, part of which included gathering items from the grocery store to make one of your favorite meals. Do you even like Greek salad? Because I was having a heck of a time finding the Kalamata olives. Okay, no, I don't eat salad, period. And I definitely don't eat Greek salad. That's disgusting. If I ever do eat a salad, it's generally going to be a Caesar salad where I'll take a few bites. Or the one exception is, if I'm in Red Lobster, a lot of people don't know that Red Lobster has probably the best blue cheese dressing in the history of the world. And so if you get their salad, you have to get the tomatoes off of it. But if you get their blue cheese, pepper it up, that's top notch. So already your dream is false. Do you really think I would send you to make me a salad? Gosh. Anyway, at the end of the dream, a sci-fi hovercraft appeared and you climbed on top. That's real. Wanting to show off for the class, you jumped off and attempted one of those crouchy superhero landings. Unfortunately, you landed weird and hurt your shoulder. Seeing your distress, I went back into the grocery store to fill a produce bag with ice and thought, good thing he has relief factor. I woke up chuckling to myself, your podcast is literally the only one I never tire of. But maybe it's time to branch out. Says I could say her name. Her name is Megan. She says, P.S. No, my husband wasn't jealous. One, I wouldn't hurt my shoulder if I jumped off of my hovercraft. I would probably hurt my knee. I would probably not hurt my shoulder, but I might not hurt my knee. A lot of people don't know this about me, and I wish more people did. Look, I'm not an athletic person, okay? I'm very tall. And I know I have broad shoulders, but I'm slow. And I'm not that coordinated. I played basketball my whole life and baseball my whole life. And I can throw and catch a football, but I'm not an athlete. I am not an athlete, okay? I could play sports just because that's what every guy did when in my generation. Everyone played something. You played everything, really. But I have incredible ankles. Shut up, Chris. I have incredible ankles. And allow me to explain, because maybe you think I'm overselling this. I'm not overselling it at all. my ankles, I never hurt them. I never sprained them. There's never a problem with them at all. And I didn't fully realize what a blessing it was to have super ankles until I joined the Marine Corps. And in the Marines, you know, you're always humping gear. You're always putting on a bunch of weight and humping it through the mountains and through the desert and through the every. Your whole life is humping gear, right? You're always carrying a bunch of weight. Well, your body's not really made to carry a bunch of weight. And it's hard on the joints. And it's dangerous, I found out, on the ankles. If you step a little weird when you're walking without 60 pounds on your back, you can hurt yourself, tweak your ankle a little bit. You step a little weird with 60 pounds on your back, you can blow out an ankle, a severe sprain, something torn, something broken. All the time, I saw this happen more times than I can count. 4 years in the United States Marine Corps Infantry, humping more weight than most. Because I was in the mortars, right? Heavy weapons, you have to carry your weapon plus mortar gear and everything else. Humping inhuman amounts of weight. Never hurt my ankles one time. What? Why are you shaking your head, Chris? That's a true story. Never one time. And it's not as if I didn't ever roll it or step wrong. That's going to happen. When you get too exhausted or you're always through rough terrain, or you're going to step on a rock or off a little ledge or off a stick or something. You are going to be in a situation where your ankle rolls. It is going to happen. Never hurt me. There's something, quit rolling your eyes, Chris. There's something, I guess I just have to give all the glory to God, to be honest with you. There's something God-given about my ankles. I brought it up to Ab, and she actually wasn't that supportive of it, of donating my ankles to science whenever it's done. Listen, I still want to be buried or cremated. I really don't care what you do, but I want to be buried. Cut off the bottom of my legs and donate it. Quit shaking your head, Chris. Donate it to science so they can figure out what's with my ankles. There's something in there. Maybe God gave me extra tendon. I drank a lot of milk when I was a kid. My parents used to cut me off from milk. That's how much milk I used to drink. I just loved it. Not chocolate milk either. I was never allowed to have that. But just regular milk. Maybe that's it. Maybe the milk all went right down to my ankles. I can't explain it. I don't know what it was. But I have incredible ankles, maybe the best ankles ever. Dear Jesse Kelly, I invented my own sandwich. I cook and chop up kielbasa sausage. I mix it in a bowl with American cheese and ketchup. I spoon in a hot dog roll and eat. I call it the Gavin sandwich, named after myself. That sounds absolutely awful. That just sounds awful. Doesn't it, Chris? It's the ketchup. You're exactly right, Chris. It's the ketchup. Maybe with a mayo or something, or not ketchup. Definitely not ketchup. You had me until ketchup. That reminds me, though. Here's a little breakfast for you. It's a winner every time. They were known as eggs like Dad makes in my house because that's what Dad made. Don't hard boil your eggs. Soft boil. I usually do 6 minutes. That's 6 minutes. A 6 minute boil in a separate bowl, in a cereal bowl. Melt a generous amount of butter, one piece of bread, you toast it, pull the eggs out, drop the soft-boiled eggs in the butter, which you've melted in the microwave, take your toast out, tear it up into little bits and drop the bits of toast in there, chop it all up into a big buttery, eggy, yolky mess in the bowl, a lot of salt and pepper, and some hot sauce. Breakfast of kings right there. There you go. Eggs like Dad makes. Courtesy. Thank you, Dad. I love you. Have you given a Tunnel to Towers yet? $11 a month is what they need to help widows and orphans. $11 a month is not a lot to ask. We talk about these people who die in combat or training. Who helps the families that we all forget about? I forget about them too, because they're not in the forefront of my mind, right? I don't work with them every single day, but man, after we forgot about Dad who died, They didn't. He's never coming home again. And that family needs help. Who helps them? Tunnel to Towers does. And more than 95 cents of every dollar you give to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. That's unheard of in the charity world. 11 bucks a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We still have an hour. What happened at Ford? We'll be back.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.